Mothers and fathers, husbands and wives, sisters and brothers, friends for life, won't live in the past. All I wanna do now is making it last.
How can one embrace the mental health challenges and yet stimulate healthier relationships? This is Making It Last podcast. I'm your host, Noreen Daly. And, you know, it's all about helping us to have better relationships, not just with ourselves, but with other people. And with me is Dr. Wesley Willis, a psychologist and a speaker. Welcome, sir.
Thank you for having me on today.
Now, for some time, and especially I'm going to say in this COVID era, a lot more individuals are paying attention to mental health. But it's one thing to pay attention. It's another thing to embrace if you do have mental health challenges. So how can one embrace whatever mental health challenge? No, before we get to that, how can one identify those mental health challenges? Because you have to be able to identify it to be able to embrace. So how can one identify that they actually have mental health challenges?
Okay. I mean, definitely. That's definitely the first place to start, is how to identify having mental health challenges. I think the way to first kind of like approach identifying that I have mental health challenges is to look at, as a cognitive behavioral therapist, is to look at kind of like, do I like how I feel internally? Do I like how, when I look in the mirror, is that person that I see looking back at me someone who feels positive, someone who has a greater sense about what the future holds? And if that answer becomes no, being that I don't like how I feel and I don't like how I address something in life, or the way that I'm experiencing life, is to then start kind of going on a search to kind of help and find an individual who can help you identify what mental health problem you may be experiencing. And that can be in the sense of a licensed therapist. I think even sometimes life coaches can be incredibly useful in kind of helping people identify like what's going on, to kind of help me get to this place where I am experiencing life, where I feel happy, healthy, connected, and all of these things that are positive for us.
Okay. So now that I have been able to identify that I do have these mental challenges, how then do I embrace them and help them to actually stimulate healthier relationships?
So embracing them is just doing the homework, taking time out of kind of life to figure out who can help me navigate to that sense of, again, accomplishing or overcoming that mental health problem. And that can be in the sense of spirituality, getting connected in terms of church, a higher sense of power or outside of yourself. That can be in the sense of having a licensed therapist who can sit down and help you explore and process that. So I think embracing it just really comes with doing the homework, kind of like owning it in a very kind of like raw way. And it doesn't have to always be kind of like to somebody else. Sometimes the work starts with ourselves and looking inward and kind of like saying there's something going on. So sometimes writing it down so that you see it and you remind yourself. I think one of the things that we can become good at is sweeping things under the rug. And then when something happens, it kind of rears its ugly head because we never resolved it. So embracing it by writing it down so that it stays, so that it remains on kind of like the forefront of your mind as, hey, this is a real thing for me that I need to take care of.
You said something that I don't think is, well, I know it isn't easy. The whole idea of people looking inward. There's somebody listening and they're saying, how on a practical level do I do that? I'm a family person. I have so many different things to juggle. Sometimes I don't even think I have enough hours in the day to get all that I need to get done. And this what you're describing sounds like it is something that will take time and energy that I really don't think that I have to expend. What would be your response to that?
So I think that already speaks volumes when individuals can't take time, like 15 minutes out of your day to sit with yourself. As a therapist, one of the things that I constantly remind my patients and clients of is the idea and the need to set aside even, 5 minutes for yourself, 5 minutes for your mental health, where you either do things like meditate and or do things like thoughtfulness. In like 2020, there's so many great apps, things like apps like Calm and Breathe and and the like. We have access to so much more technology. And in some ways, it's diverted our attention to things like our Instagram and our Facebook. Mm-hmm. But we can really take the time to investigate the other things that can kind of give us like that 15 minutes of peace or that 15 minutes of gratitude. And I think when people say, if a person says to themselves, I can't give myself 15 minutes, then you have really shortchanged yourself. And that in and of itself even is a significant kind of like conversation to have with somebody.
I know you've been enjoying the conversation, but we're going to take a little break and get a word from our sponsor.
For all your events, such as educational forums, workshops, book launches, weddings, and more, contact Noreen Daly, the ultimate MC and event host. Visit NoreenDaly.com or follow her on Instagram at Noreen Daly Jam. Noreen Daly, creating long-lasting memories.
You've made reference several times the whole idea of you know, even getting a therapist. Now, a lot of persons listening to this podcast and in different countries will say to you, that is an expensive undertaking, which, given everything else, even with the best of intentions, I don't think I can handle financially. So if it is that somebody's saying, I am open to this process, but I don't have the financial resources to access a licensed therapist, what then?
So I think, just like myself, there are so many of us licensed therapists, so many of us practitioners who have said that there is a greater community that can't access our services and that are creating content. So I think if we utilize, again, like the things that we have, like YouTube, I'm a YouTuber myself with like almost 10,000 subscribers, and I create content surrounding dealing with depression, like working with how do you cope with having a depressed spouse and support a depressed spouse while taking care of yourself or being in a greater sense of gratitude. So we have, again, like we said, this all this great technology and information out here that offers us tools to be able to put in our toolbox to be able to be healthier people. And I think that even though as a licensed therapist, and sometimes I know in churches and in spiritual world, in the spiritual life, there are individuals who can kind of help individuals. And those are individuals to seek also help from, to sit down and have a conversation with, to kind of help balance things out. Because spirituality is an incredibly important thing as we think about hopefulness, being hopeful. And that's just such a significant part of our life, is feeling hopeful about the future.
Well, it's a nice segue into what I wanted us to talk about, is we're talking about having stimulating healthier relationships. And somebody might say, but what might be a healthy relationship to you, Dr. Willis, might not necessarily be a healthy relationship for me. So is this something that's universal? How then do we describe what is healthy in terms of relationships?
I agree. I think that though there are some just core foundational things that have to exist in a relationship for it to be healthy. One, that is a sense of feeling safe. I couldn't imagine a patient or a client saying, "Doc, I feel like I'm in a healthy relationship with someone who makes me feel unsafe." that in and of itself doesn't go together. So the sense of safety when you're with the one that you're in a relationship with, I think is an important cornerstone or important foundation that has to exist in that relationship. I think another foundational point that has to exist in any relationship for it to be healthy is a sense of support. And not just kind of like I think in that like, oh, that this is my biggest cheerleader, but at the end of the day that this is someone who can help me meet the sometimes basic needs of life or the basic needs of anything. Mm-hmm. Because if it's someone who you feel like has no significance or has no point in which they can like in which they can kind of help you be a better you or better be you be period, then it's not really kind of a healthy relationship.
Mm-hmm. So sense of safety and sense of support. Anything else?
I think I think those are the most like foundational. Most definitely the most foundational parts of a healthy relationship.
Okay. So I'm thinking that since for some people, we still are not quite at the point where we think that mental health is as important as physical health. What can you say to somebody who's saying, yes, if I feel a pain physically, I will go to the doctor because I know I don't have the knowledge to be able to figure out what is happening and how to ease this pain. What will you say to some people who are still skeptical when it is that they have these mental health challenges and they're reluctant in terms of even seeking help, even if it's not accessing, because we just spoke about the fact that sometimes accessing a professional can be expensive, but there are still other ways, whether, through the technology. What would you say to people who are still, because I have people around me because of the space where I work that I recognize that sometimes they do need to get that help, but they're still reluctant to get it.
I think that, so I've been practicing for quite some, almost 15 years, and I've seen like this shift from levels of comfortability in like primary care physicians, nurse practitioners, PAs, people who do work in the medical field and like the strict sciences versus in mental health, being able to say that I think that you need something that I'm not able to provide and give like appropriate referrals. So I've seen a greater sense of that in conversations from doctors and providers that can say, what you need is to go talk to a therapist. And I also have seen a greater sense also in programs and educational programs that train professionals that provide them with a basic sense of kind of how to actively listen and how to be empathetic and engaging, with your patient or with your client. So much so than before when we were operated in these silos, I feel like I have colleagues who kind of get how to speak to a patient who may not be behaving in a way. And they're going, okay, I see that you're constantly coming into the emergency room and you're saying you feel like you can't catch your breath and you're feeling like this, you have asthma, undiagnosed asthma. I want you to go, consider talking, to somebody else who may be able to kind of help you explore, because all of the tests say you don't have asthma. All of the tests say that you have great lung, that you have great lung space. And I'm not saying, that you have mental health issues or things like that. But what I am saying is that there may be something else going on that I'm not gifted at kind of diagnosing and helping you with. And I find that they are so much more able to verbalize that and patients kind of can say, oh, okay. well, how do I get that in a very free way or a way that is economically reasonable mm-hmm. for my budget?
Mm-hmm.
And being able to be linked would say, hey, well, you know what? This is how you access it, or this is how, you know, these are the resources in our community that can be able to provide that in a very cost efficient way.
I know you've been enjoying the conversation, but we're going to take a little break and get a word from our sponsor.
Does your business lack branding? Having difficulty realizing your vision? Look no further. Splint Brand Design Consultancy specializes in developing personal and business brands. Services include strategic management, website creation, social media branding, and more. Visit them online at www.wearesplint.com. Splint, the brand you need to succeed.
As we're wrapping up, do I then understand that I shouldn't wait until... No, let me ask that differently. There are some people who think that for them, they won't see themselves as being mentally... having a mental health challenge if it is that they don't feel as if they're exhibiting any symptoms of depression or symptoms of being bipolar or any of those things. Because, Dr. Willis, sometimes I'm wondering if in your professional capacity, is it okay to think of mental health challenges almost as being on a continuum? So on one end is you know, certain, and excuse me saying this, almost minor things, while on the other end are the major things. Is it possible to see on a continuum so people then, when they start seeing some signs that they do what is necessary so they don't get to the other extreme, is it possible to see it that way?
Sure. I think that one of the things that all of us should have in our life is an objective person, someone that you can sit down and talk things through. And say, hey, you know what? I just want to get your perspective about this. And it doesn't have to be a therapist. As long as I think the individual can be objective and be supportive, I think is some of the most important parts of having someone or having an individual who can help you kind of like get outside of your own head, if that makes sense. To recognize, like, hey, you know what? The way that you looked at that or differently, I don't know that that's helping you mm-hmm. or to be able to say, you know what, I think that kind of hurts some of the things that you have great about yourself. And, you know, so having an objective individual, whether it be a therapist, whether that be, you know, a really honest, good girlfriend, guy friend,
mm-hmm.
A friend in general, but somebody who can say, you know, really say it in a very empathetic way and hear you out, I think is always really important.
Okay. Your final thoughts as we're wrapping up?
You know, just definitely to go back to the beginning of the show, I really thought that in terms of it, you know, learning to embrace mental health challenges
mm-hmm.
Is becoming like growing so much more. I would love to talk about my practice. I have like 90% of my practice is Black men of color from all different walks of life, but whether it be West Indian, whether it be African-American, whether it be African. And I think that we have really seen like this greater sense of comfortability, education, mm-hmm. Conversation about mental health. And to know that I feel like we're always going in the right direction as it relates to individuals kind of saying, hey, I think I need to talk to somebody and figure things out. So, yeah, I just definitely want to add to that.
Well, one thing is definite. We will definitely be having another conversation about mental health somewhere down the road.
Fantastic. I look forward to it.
All right. This was Making It Last podcast. I'm your host, Noreen Daly. Until next time.
And fathers, husbands and wives, sisters and brothers, friends for life, won't live in the past. All I wanna do now is making it last. Mothers and fathers, sisters and brothers, friends forever, strengthening the and brothers. us together.